So Daniel chapter 3 and verses 16, 17 and 18. And I want us all to read this together, okay? So I want you all to take part, as many as possible. And let's read this together if you have your Bible with you or if you're looking on with someone else or maybe you've even got it in your phone. Okay, so here we go. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. It is our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious word tonight. We thank you for these young men. We thank you for their example. And we thank you for young men that dared to stand up in an age and a culture that seemed to be totally against them. But Lord, I thank you they stood up for the Lord himself. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'll help us to learn lessons from these young men tonight. And we pray that you'll speak to each one of our hearts this night. Lord, you know all our needs. You know all about us. And Lord, I just pray that you'll have a word in season for each and every one. Someone here maybe out of Christ. Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, you will speak. Someone maybe far away has drifted away from thee. Lord, I just pray. Draw the prodigal back tonight, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for each one. See if even in the gathering tonight, Lord, may you have a word. Encourage our hearts. And help us, Lord, to go into this week with this word in our hearts, even this night, to be encouraged and to go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, a little thought tonight, a message tonight is entitled Faith in the Fire. Faith in the Fire. And here we have three young men who were living in Babylon. They had been born in Judah, which had been invaded and conquered by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. These three friends, well, they had another friend that many of you know as well called Daniel. And when we think about them tonight, they were promoted in the government of Babylon. This was a foreign country to them, a foreign nation. They had to change their names, and we know their names. We've read them even tonight, and this is their Babylonian names. And because God had revealed the meaning of the king's dream to Daniel, these young men were promoted. They were promoted. Their names, we know Daniel. Then we had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they had remained true and faithful to God in a very difficult culture, and a culture that was completely anti-God. They remained true. But very soon their faith would be tested to the very max, to the very core. As I look around tonight and as we think about our own lives, maybe that is where you find yourself tonight as you come into this gathering. Maybe tonight you are someone that's trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, but your faith has been tested to the very, very maximum tonight. You maybe find yourself in the furnace, being tried and tested. Well, tonight, I want you to have I trust that you will have a word. There will be a word in season from the Lord himself tonight for you. But maybe tonight you're not, and you're thinking, well, Phil, I'm not really tried much. I'm just keeping going, and I'm rejoicing in the Lord. Well, I can guarantee you that you will face trials. You will face difficulties, because the Lord himself tells us that. I want us to think of a few different things tonight. The very first one I want us to remember, and I'm going to ask you at the end this, okay? So you try and remember this, because I want you to go away remembering God's word tonight, hide it up in our hearts. And the very first thing I want to think about God's people was the challenge for God's people that they found. The challenge to God's people. What was the challenge? Well, look there at chapter 3, verse 15, and we'll see the challenge first of all. Let's read verse 15. I'll read it to you. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, all well and good, we could say. But if you worship not, if you don't do this, if you don't bow down, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? The king presented to the people a huge challenge, especially to these men. Everyone else, it seemed, well, most other people that we can assume were bowing down to this, would bow down to this idol that the king had set up, this great golden idol, a false god. And he was telling these men, you need to bow down. If you don't, well, the consequences you're going to find out. So the challenge was that they were to bow down. In other words, we could maybe say, either bow or burn. Either bow down, worship this idol that's all mine, that I have built with my hands, or I have ordered to be built. Bow down and worship it. And he asks the question, and the challenge is, who shall deliver you? If you don't do it, who's going to deliver you? You see, he knew who he was. He, Nebuchadnezzar, was we would call today maybe the world superpower. He was all-powerful, as it were, when it came to government, when it came the nations that were under him, and he could do what he wanted, or so he thought. He thought he was in control. But you know, the superpowers, the great people so-called of our world, may think they are in control. We think they're in charge and can do all these things, and we read about them and see about it on our news. But, you know, really, they're not in control at all. God is in control. What does God's people say? Amen. Amen. God is in control. There was a great challenge to these men, these young men especially. They were in an audience now with the king. He was speaking to them personally and directly, and he threw down the challenge to them. In other words, either bow or burn. What are you going to do? In other words, conform your faith to be inclusive of my religion. You see, people tell us today, many people tell us today that all religions lead to God. Is that what the Bible says? No. Praise God that he alone is God. Praise God that his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Thank you. Does that leave room for all other ways that lead to God? No, it's exclusive. It's through Christ alone. It's through the cross of Jesus Christ. And so we think tonight, these young men were faced with a great challenge. They were either to conform to the government's laws, or they were to continue to conform or to continue on with God's laws and obeying him. Who would they obey? What would they do? When I think about this United Kingdom that we live in, I think about the laws of our, let's take our government. And in our government, over there in Westminster, we think about often the laws that they pass. They pass laws that are anti-God, that are against what this book, the precious word of God, the law of God, teaches us. And it comes to us, and we have a challenge, and we face a challenge. We must continue to be like these young men. We must make the choice consciously to continue to follow God's word. Not to be conformed to this world or the government of this world, but to be conformed to God's law, continually obeying God's, not man. They tell us that we need to accept many different things. We need to accept, well, same-sex marriage. We need to accept abortion. We need to accept how we discipline our children. We need to accept all of these things. But there comes a day when we have to make a choice. We have to stand. And we have to stand. We don't have to go out of our way to be ignorant to people. We don't have to go out of our way to shout people down. We don't have to do all. But God calls us to stand. He calls us to be faithful, not to turn away, not to embrace all that this world and this government and the governments of this world throw at us. So the first thing was the challenge that these young men faced. God's people faced a great challenge. The second thing, we're moving very quickly, the choice for God's people. What would they choose? Would they follow the world? Would they follow the king's commandments? Or would they follow God's commandments? What were they going to do? What would they do? You know, King Nebuchadnezzar, as I said, he was perhaps the most powerful man in the known world at that time. And these three men's choice revealed to us why they are fantastic role models for us in this 21st century. They were men who dared to stand up to the government. They were men who dared to stand up to those around them that were telling them things that were totally contrary to God's word. They were young men who stuck to their guns, as we would say. Not literally. Pardon the pun. Verse 18. Let's go to verse 18. But if not, they replied to the king, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I think it's pretty clear what their choice was. It's pretty clear what their answer was. We will not. It's pretty clear. They had their minds made up. They were going to continue to serve God. They had made the right choice. They had chosen to follow the Lord wholeheartedly, and no matter what would happen, praise the Lord. In verse 17, let's just look at verse 17 again. If it be so, our God whom we serve, our God whom we serve is what? Is able. Able to do what? Able to deliver us. And we realize, and even in our own country, we're going to face really difficult days. Difficult days when we go against the law, the laws of the country, to follow God. We put him first. We're going to face difficult days. But our God whom we serve is able. He is able to deliver us. These young men had full confidence, folks. They had full confidence and faith in their God. Remember, it was God that brought them into captivity. You remember, they were brought into captivity. They were brought out of Judah in their own country. They were brought down there into Babylon. And they faced already great trials in Babylon. Yet he watched over them. Let me give you an example. If you were to turn back into the previous chapter, you would see there that he gave Daniel a mighty answer to their prayers. This was God. God gave Daniel a mighty answer to their prayers. These young men believed in prayer. They couldn't do it themselves. They couldn't come through the trials themselves, but they realized and they knew personally that there was a God that could help them and the God that would be with them, and they knew him personally. You see, God revealed the king's dream in this example to Daniel. These men prayed and God answered their prayer, and God revealed what the very king had dreamt. None of the wise men right across the nations and right across specifically in Babylon could work out what the king had dreamt. But we see that through the power of prayer, Daniel was able to do that. Not only was the king's dreams revealed, but these men were promoted. They stood up and were counted. They dared to stand, and they were promoted in the Babylonian government. This was a government, remember, a government that was in no way standing for God. It was anti-God. And yet God, in his sovereignty, had brought these men to serve in this government. And they were serving God. They were putting God first. And God was answering their prayers. I think about how they had full confidence in him. I think about the Second World War. I think about Corrie Ten Boom. Who knows? Who's heard of Corrie Ten Boom? Anybody heard of her? Yes, you've heard of Corrie Ten Boom. And we think about that girl, that Dutch girl, and her sister Bessie, and they were imprisoned. They were taken from their home. Remember, they'd been hiding Jewish people and Jewish children in their home. She had converted her bedroom to have a false wall up on it, and in behind that, they were hiding children, hiding them from the Nazis, because they knew the ultimate fate of these Jewish children, who were innocent children, men and women, would end up in the Nazi concentration camps and would be put to death. And so her and her dad and whole family, they tried to rescue, and they did. They rescued many, many children. But then one day they were touted on, they were squealed on, and they were betrayed. And they found themselves, Corrie and her sister Bessie, they found themselves in a Nazi death camp in Ravensbrück. Bessie said these words just before she died. Listen to these words. there is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still. There is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still. She had full confidence. Her faith was in God and her confidence was in him. In fact, in the providence of God, even though she did not survive, her sister Corey did survive. The guards or the clerical officers, whatever you want to call them, in Ravensbrück, they made a big mistake. She was given release. They made a mistake. She should never have been released, but she was released. But who was in control? Was it the Nazis or God was in control? In the sovereignty of God, she was released. And tragically, that next week, she recounts how all the women that were in that part of that prison that she would have had meetings with, that she would have shared her faith in Christ with, each one of them were put to death. Yet she survived. Some things we just cannot understand. But she said this. Let me share it with you. Again, her confidence was in God. She said through these trials, she said this. Faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. Isn't that amazing? To think someone could say that. He was in a concentration camp in the midst of all the horrors around her. Death on a continual basis. Torture and evil all around her. And she said, faith sees the invisible, believes the unbelievable, and receives the impossible. She was free. She was released. It seemed unbelievable. It seemed impossible. But her faith was in an invisible God that made himself known to her. And God was with her. You see, she had a personal faith in Jesus Christ. She made a personal declaration of her faith. And these men did that too. Here's what they said. Our God whom we serve is able. Right to the king's face. Imagine that. I'd love to have been a fly on the wall. Would you? And they said that right to his face. They're sitting talking. And they just give it to him. And they just tell him straight. This is what it is. Our God. We have confidence in our God. He's able. He is able to deliver us. No matter you're the world's superpower or not, he's able. Praise God, he's able. They could count their many blessings, name them one by one. Do you do that? Do you count your blessings? When you get up in the morning, do you count your blessings? So often we'll go, oh, how tired, I don't know how I'm going to go to work today. Oh, school, no way. Oh, don't want to go there, no way. Oh, and it's all woe, isn't it? Woe is me, and I'm tired, and I've done all this. Oh. But you know, we should really count our blessings. If we're saved, we should count our blessings. Name them one by. Thank you. Name them one by. And it always does surprise us what the Lord has done. These men were counting their blessings. They did not doubt God's sovereign power and authority. Even in their darkest hour. Their darkest hour. They did not doubt God in the midst of it. Being honest, I doubt God at times. I know I shouldn't, but we do and we shouldn't. But this gives us confidence. An example from God's word of men who didn't doubt. Are you doubting this evening about something where God has placed you and you can't seem to understand it and you can't seem to work it out and you're fearful even, you're doubting, can any good come of this at all? This is terrible. It might be your family. It might be your work situation. It might be something else about your health. I don't know. But tell me this, is God able? God is able. These men said, our God is able. You know when they said, our God? To me, that speaks of personal. That speaks of personal. A personal God. And the Lord is personal. Is he personal to you? When you're waking up, do you speak to him? During the day, do you take time maybe to flick your phone off the internet and flick it onto your Bible? Do you take time to read the Bible for yourself? You know, God, he's personal. Yes, he's all-powerful, but he's personal. And that's the amazing thing about God. You know, do you know him tonight? Do you trust it? Have you trusted him? Have you asked him to forgive your sin? Have you asked him to come into your life? Are you saved tonight? You know, the only hope that we have in this world is hope that is found in God himself through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Now, these young men, they were people of prayer. People of prayer. Are you? Am I? Do we pray enough? Do we pray and do we really seek God? Or do we go through a form of words? It's easy to do that. But you know, just talking to God, Just talking to him in prayer. There's a man here tonight, we're not going to embarrass him, but I love to hear him praying because he just talks as if the Lord's sitting beside him. And that's the way it should be. Just talking. Just Lord, help me. You're sitting somewhere. Lord, will you help me? Will you be with me? Will you help me through this? Lord, help me. These young men knew the power of prayer. They knew God personally. Do we pray to our God? Do we pray for others? We need to pray for one another. We thought a lot about this year, especially here in Martyrs. Martin Luther, I think, doing the wee tours and stuff, you end up near talking like him. But listen, we've thought a lot about Martin Luther, the great reformer. 500 years we're thinking of, and we've been celebrating as a church. Not him, but we're celebrating how God used him. How God used him. He wasn't perfect, but he suffered greatly in the fires of great affliction. This is how he described a particularly bad week. Now, I was going to ask you tonight, put your hand up if you had a bad week. But don't do that, because all the hands will go up. But listen, Martin Luther had bad weeks. And sometimes we can think, oh, he was this guy, nothing bothered him, and he just shouted and roared, and he took a stand. Here I stand, I can do no other. And all of that, and he'd done that, praise the Lord. But listen, he had bad weeks as well. Maybe you've had a bad week. Where do you hear about his week? Here's how he describes it himself. You ready? He says, for more than a week, I've been thrown back and forth in death and hell. My whole body feels beaten. My limbs are still trembling. I almost lost Christ completely, driven about on the waves of despair and blasphemy against God. But because of the intercession or the prayers of the faithful, God had mercy on me. God had mercy. Hi, the prayers of his people. People prayed. These young men prayed. And people prayed for Martin Luther. And we need to pray for others. We need to bear one another's burdens. We need to encourage one another in the Lord. These young men said, our God is able. Whom we serve, he is able to deliver us. Think about those words, whom we serve. Are you serving Jesus or is it your own self? I told earlier on about, well, I'm just reminding us about the boys that squealed, we would say here in Northern Ireland, they told on these three Hebrews that they weren't going to bow down. They told about them being Jews. They told about all of those things and word got back to the king. But these three men, these other men that squealed, we'll call it, on the three men, they were out to promote themselves. Were they out for the good of the government? No, they were out for themselves and their own careers. Now, Daniel, we read in previous chapters, had previously saved their bacon, we would say in Northern Ireland. He had saved their bacon. He had saved them, as it were, from death row. They were ungrateful and discontented. You see, they were due to be put to death. But then Daniel came in. Daniel's friends prayed. Daniel prayed, and God answered prayer and saved not only Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but saved all these other boys as well. Now they turned on Daniel, and now here they were. They were ungrateful. And it's easy for us to be ungrateful, friends, tonight. To be ungrateful. To be selfish. To be self-centered. Even as Christians, I'm the first to put my hand up. It's easy to be ungrateful and self-centered. I wonder tonight, can we ask ourselves the question, is your life all about, or my life all about your experience? About your travels? It's about your feelings? It's about what we share on social media. It's all about us. For very often, what's shared on social media is a strong indicator of what has captured our hearts. If we're always talking, in other words, if we're always talking about us and about what we have done and what we're doing and all the rest of it, very often it just shows what's captured our hearts. We're full of self and full of pride when we should be full of singing God's praises. We should be giving him all the glory. You know, if we're serving ourselves like these other boys were, we need to ask God to forgive us, to help us to serve him as Christians. We need to be God's people, and we need to set that example. We need to be ambassadors. We're not perfect, but we're called to be ambassadors of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're called to serve him. He saved us to serve. You know, it's when we're serving Christ, it's a path to joy. When we think about this, I think of the words joy. How do you spell joy? Does anyone know? Anyone been to school for more than 2 years? You can spell joy. So we'll start it off after two. One, two. J-O-Y. And I remember at Sunday school, I remember some things. I'm not completely, my head's not completely melted or fried. But praise God, I remember some little things that teachers faithfully taught me in Sunday school. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you'd be encouraged that an airhead like me, 40 years later, can remember something. Listen, joy. Jesus first, others next, and ourselves last. Last. Give all the glory to God. Put the Lord Jesus first in our lives. Then others next. Serve others. Help others. But serve the Lord. And in doing that, we are serving the Lord when we're putting others first. Put them first. Don't try and be the first. And I want to be there. And I want to do this better than you. And I'm a bit better, I think. None of that. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to serve him by serving others. And you know, these men finished off, and here's what they finished off, and they said, he is able to deliver us. They had full confidence in God. Let me ask you a wee personal question tonight. Is there something in your life that you need delivered from? What about the hurt that you may have experienced from someone else? God is able to. God is able to heal that. He can talk to him in prayer. Let go from the hurts of the past and let God. What about some severe temptation or trial? 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, Paul gives us these lovely words. Turn with me to it. Turn with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll read verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. And these are Paul's words to us even tonight. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. He will make a way. When it seems to be no way, whatever temptation you faced this week, last week, or this week, he will make a way. Trust him. Trust him. Fully rely on him. There's a little thought, and you can remember this. I remember hearing this, I think it was at a youth meeting, the word frog, F-R-O-G, fully rely on God. Helps us to remember it, doesn't it? Think about that. Fully relying on God. God is faithful. He will make a way when there seems to be no way. And he was doing that for these young men. Maybe the other thing, maybe for some of you, you need delivered from a particular sin. Like maybe doubts, or some sin that started off as a little small thing in your life. A little small thing that was like a foothold in your life. And it's now become a stronghold. It's something that seems to have got a real hold and a real grip in your life. Well, do you have confidence that God alone can work that out? That God alone can forgive you? And that God alone can cleanse you afresh? Thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, can still cleanse. I thank you that God can help you through that. He can break the strongholds in your life. The old flesh, it's a war, it's a battle. Paul talked much about it, that battle with the flesh. But I thank you that God has won the victory and he will help you through. But you know, you need to recognize the problem and you need to deal with it. Allow the Lord to deal with it. He is able to deliver. Isn't that what they said? He is able to deliver. He will help you, but you need to have full confidence in him like these men did. The other thing we were thinking about, and let's just remind us what we've thought about already, because I'm going to ask you a question in a minute to see if you're remembering. The first thing was the challenge to God's people, okay, in this lesson. The second thing was the choice for God's people. And the third thing was the consequence for the people of God. What was the consequence? The consequence of their choices. Verse 23. Turn to Daniel 3 again. Just flick back to it. Daniel chapter 3. And there in verse 23, let's read it. Chapter 3 and verse 23. And it tells us these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. That wee word, bound. Think about that. What were they? They were bound. They were tied up. Remember, you can read there in the previous verses, they had been tied up by the soldiers. They were bound, and then they were going to be frog-marched down to this furnace and thrown in. Thrown in, but they were going to be bound. This reminds me tonight that the enemy, Satan, tries to get us all tied up in non-essential issues. Maybe for you, you're tied up all the time in work, and your time is spent all week in your workplace, and you really want to do well, and you're doing it the best of your ability. That's good. But think about the time you're spending. We can spend so much time and get tied up in lesser things in school, university, work, housework, the home, family, and we lose out with time with God. We get so tied up in the things of this world. It's easy to get tied up in church. What does that mean? What do you mean, Phil, tied up in church? I don't mean tied up, okay? But I mean our thoughts can wander. Instead of praising God during the time of praise, and instead of hearing from God through his word, instead of saying, Lord, speak to me, our minds wander. And you can look across and you can look at someone else and you can think, where are they at church? Where are they at church? Or you can think, I need to text that friend back. He texted me this week. It's all come into my head now. I need to text him. And you can get down below the pew and you can go, I need to text him now. Or you're thinking about what you're going to text him back. And our minds wander. Our thoughts wander. Instead of coming to worship, instead of coming to praise God, instead of coming to hear from him, we get caught up in lesser things. We get tied up in all of those things. Maybe for some, I know in our house this happens. Don't be laughing, okay? But sometimes I hear this. Oh, did I leave the hair straighteners on? Did I leave a plug on? That's Sharon says sometimes, come down the road. And I said, don't worry, I'll be all right. I just don't worry, the house could be burnt down. But we're sitting in church thinking about these things sometimes, aren't we? Or did I lock the back door? Oh, I don't know if I locked the back door. I say, don't worry, I'll be all right. They say, oh, it's all right, and everyone's gone, we'll come home. But listen, our minds can wander. We can get tied up in all of these things. Let's not get tied up. These men were bound. They were tied up. And that just reminded me of that little thought tonight. We can be so tied up and bound in so many good things that we neglect the very source of our faith and blessings. Though the enemy wants to bind us to prevent us as Christians reaching the children of Belfast, for example. And there are many of you serving right across this city in many different ways. We don't need to go into all the ways that you're serving. But you know, for some others, you may be caught up in so many other things that you have no time to reach people around you in your community, to reach people, to reach children, to reach people that are placed across your path because you're so caught up in your work or something else, something lesser. We're powerless because we get tied up in lesser things. Maybe we get tied up because and we end up neglecting his word and prayer. So not only were they bound by the enemy as a consequence of their choice to serve God instead of man, but we see in verse 23, and we're almost finished, verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. They weren't only bound, but it says they fell. What does it say? Look at it again. They were bound, but it says just before that they fell down. Now you're with us. Brilliant. Brilliant. They fell down. Oh, into the midst of that fiery furnace. What a terrible thing. Anyone's worst nightmare to be thrown into something like that. And it tells us they fell down. Whoa. The enemy, Satan, he loves to see God's people fall down. Allowing themselves to drift, we can allow ourselves to drift from God's, from God, from our time spent in God's word. Maybe there's someone here and you once walked well with God, and tonight You're like the Bible's prodigal. The prodigal that's found, that the story's told of in the Gospels. And you've wandered far away from God. It started off just as a little bit of drifting. And before long, you've fallen. And sin has got a hold in your life. And you're far away from God. And maybe like that prodigal tonight, finds you at an end of yourself. And you're here tonight, and if you're honest with yourself, that describes you, perhaps, tonight. An end of yourself. Well, you can be like that man, that prodigal son, that wayward son, and you can cry, Father, I have sinned. I have sinned. Allow Christ to lift you up. He tells us in his word, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise. I will not cast you out. I will no wise cast you out. If you come to him tonight, he's not going to turn you away. You know, it looks like in verse 23, the enemy has won. The young men that are trusting in God, they're in the fire. All hope was almost gone. Their faith has been severely tested in the furnaces of affliction. This is the story in North Korea tonight. Many of God's people are serving in hard labor camps. Many other places like that. Let us not forget them in practical and prayerful ways. And the final point tonight is this, that the champion, the people of God had a champion. He had a champion. In verse 24, look what happens. What does the king see? He sees them in the midst of the fire. And what does he do? Here's what he said. It tells us that he was astonished. Whoa! He was blown away. He couldn't believe it. Something supernatural was happening. These men were walking about alive in the fire. And it tells us he jumped up. And he said, did we not put three men into the fire? But look, I see, how many? Four. I see four men loose. They're loose. They're not bound. They're not bound up anymore. They're not tied up. They're loose. They're walking around. They're free. Oh, the enemy's ropes. The enemy's soldiers put the ropes on them. The ropes could not hold them. I wonder tonight, can we ask you the question, are you bound still by the enemy of your soul? Are you unsaved tonight? Dear friend, by faith I would say to you tonight, trust him. He can break those chains, those cords that are binding you. The Bible tells us that God must punish your sin, resulting in an eternity forever and ever in the place that the Bible calls hell. You need your sin problem dealt with on the cross. Praise God, Jesus took that punishment that you deserved. In John 1 and verse 7, here's what it says. Let me read it to you. It tells us the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin, all of it. No matter where you've been, what you've done, cleanses it all, full stop. In verse 9, here's what you can do. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins. Will you admit that you are lost as the Holy Spirit prompts you now to trust Jesus Christ? Hear these words. Trust him. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In verse 20, these men were bound by the enemy, but now they were walking about in the fire. They were walking. They were no longer bound. They were free. Their work for God was not over. You might be in a meeting tonight and you think, my work for God's over, it's finished. But you know, their work wasn't over. It looked as if, looking in the outside, in that particular instance a few moments previous, it looked as if their work was over and they were going home to glory. But you know, their work wasn't over. They were not without hope. They were free. They were walking, not in their own strength, but in the strength and power of another. Who was the other? Who was it? Who was the fourth person in the midst of the fiery trial? They were not alone. The king said, I see four men, and he is like the Son of God. The enemy had made the hottest fire possible, a fire that killed his own soldiers, yet it could not destroy God's sovereign plan for these, his servants. Your work is not over. Don't believe the devil's lie. God has still a work for you to do. He wants you to keep going on until that day. Then he calls you and calls you up to higher service. The devil cannot destroy God's sovereign plan for these servants' lives, and he cannot destroy it for you. Do you hear me? God was walking with them in the midst of the fire. Have you come along here tonight feeling alone? Have you fallen into the fires of affliction? Has the battle been long and tough? Philip, you've no idea. You've no idea what I've been through. The battle's been long, it's been tough, and I'm about to give up. I want you to hear this tonight as I finish. You are not alone. God's promise to you tonight is, I will be with thee. David could say of his trial, he could say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For why? Why did he not fear? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff to comfort me. Oh, by faith remember that as God's child, you have a faithful champion. We have a faithful champion in the Lord our God. In Daniel 3, just to round that all off, we have seen the challenge God's people faced to conform to an evil government. The choice they made, we will not serve thy gods. The consequences they suffered, they were tied up, they fell down in the furnace. But they had a champion, the Most High God, went with them and delivered them from the enemy's plans. And all of this, I want you to celebrate this. And this story is a story worth celebrating it. You know why? You know why I think tonight is worth celebrating? Because in all of this, the Lord had all the glory. He had the glory alone, and tonight that's worth celebrating. May he have the glory in your life this week. May he have all the glory and the praise in my life this week. And may God help us to be like these young men, to stand up when everyone else is falling down, to stand for Jesus Christ, even though the government, even though our colleagues, our school friends, and all of those around us are telling us different. I trust that you will stand for Jesus Christ.